Thank you, Gary, for that prayer, because some of that prayer is in this lesson here. As some have asked already, what's for me to do now that I've been baptized, now that I'm added to the church? What's next? And it's listening to the holy apostles, for they were guided by the Holy Spirit to write all these things down for what us to pay attention to, follow His word, be guided by it, when to worship, how to treat others, how to live, and on it goes. And thanks, Kyle, for reading that scripture. And that scripture, he said, go and be fruitful and multiply and subdue there. Hey, I think Chelsea and Matt's doing that, right? Huh? Yeah. So they're being obedient. Okay. Now listen to that. This is part of what he said to do. Go. Now, as we go through this lesson, let's find out what happened to some who didn't do what he said to go. Don't sit still. Don't have your feet in the mud. Get going. And if you would, you can turn to Genesis while we're going through this, the 11th chapter, and we're going to see about some fellows that stopped and what they was going to do. Yeah. And as we read this, there's going to be some reading here, but bear with me. Now, in verse 1 it says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. Can you imagine that? And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain of land in Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had bricks for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Get that? Make a name for ourselves. Lest we be scattered. Lest you be scattered. What did he tell them to do? Go and be fruitful and multiply. Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the Son of Man had built. Can you imagine God coming down? Here they are. They've built a tower. They've done all this work. And how high was that tower? They wanted it to reach to the heavens. And God's coming clear down here looking, what are you boys doing? Is that all you got done? You know, they're my daughter and son-in-law was down at Florida and watching that rocket go off. And that's the same thing I have when they're shooting that rocket off. And how many planets is out there? And what they say they've made it to the moon. Well, is that all the further you went? When my God spoke all this in existence with the breath of his mouth. See, what are you doing? And he goes on here, and he said, indeed, the people are one, and they have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down. There you are again. He's got to go down where you guys are. And confuse their language, that they may not understand one another. Speech. So the Lord scattered them. Get that? There we are again. They wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted to stay in Shinar and make a name for themselves. But that wasn't his purpose for them. They was to go, be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth. So he scattered them abroad by this, by confounding their language. Can you understand how that would be? That would be like me saying, God, Frere, Terman, Lobendieck, Fungani, Deep, Pricing, Nun, and Z, Fushte. You don't know nothing. Well, how do you know to pick up that tube before and bring it over here to me? You didn't, did you? So they're all scattered, and the work of this tower ceased. God caused that to happen. God working providentially in our lives so these things will happen. Get back on track. You know, in Matthew 28, we're going to get to this at different points, how in the New Testament, Jesus had told us, Matthew 28, He said, all authority has been given to me under heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to keep all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Hey, he's giving us a charge. Was we to sit still? No, he said to go, you see. And if we go to Philippians, if we're asking, what more is for me to do now that I'm a Christian, we keep going on with these scriptures from the holy apostles. Let's listen to them. In Philippians chapter 2, if you want to turn there, verses 12, let's see. We'll start in 2. He said, fulfill my joy, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out for not only his own interests, but also the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it to be robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even obedient to the death of the cross. That's what he did for us. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Christ is the Lord, to the glory of the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you always obeyed, now listen to that, that's another thing for us, we became Christians, what else to obey? Obey what? All these words that he's going to come up with saying to do, not to do. You see, not as in my presence, he's saying, but also much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Just as Ed, he was explaining that where he come from, a certain teaching, thanks be to God that through reading the word, he diagnosed it to where he should be and got corrected to the Lord's church. You see, that's an interesting thing that Jesus said in Matthew 15, I, singular, will build my possessive church, singular. There's only one church. It's his. He died, gave his blood for it. And he's going on to say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. His good pleasure, pleasing God. That's the ticket. That's what we're to do, being children of God, to please God. Now, how do we do that? Do all things without complaining and disputing. Is that easy for us to do? Not me. Ask my wife. But that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as a light in the world. Shining lights? Yeah, that's what Jesus was talking about. No one having a light puts it under a bushel, but brings it out in the room and puts it on a stand so all have light and be able to see. And ain't that what we want to do? To be able to see, what is the will of God for us? What pleases him? What do I need to do? How much more dying to myself do I have to do and then throwing Christ and doing his commands? He goes on, verse 16, holding fast to the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad. He was glad to do that, he said. And he said, rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. so that rejoicing is back and forth. We're of the same mind. And listen to Jesus. He's given an explanation out to us in John 8:29. He said, "For I always do those things that please him." Ain't that what Paul was saying up here? For his good pleasure, pleasing God. In John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And we're going to have to figure out what his commandments are. Well, we're going to see that through the Holy Apostles' inspired word, what's written down for us. In John 14:21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." In John 15, again, verses 11-14, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that lay down one's life for his friends." And he says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Yeah. And again, in Matthew 28, what am I to do as a Christian, added to the church? He said in chapter 28, verse 20, "Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Commanded? Okay. Yes, there's commandments. We're under the law of Christ now. We're not under the Old Testament law any longer. That was nailed with Christ on the cross. We see that in Colossians, the second chapter. They've been taken out of the way of things of spiritual matters, nailed to the cross with Christ. Because Paul said, "Let no one judge you in food or drink or festivals or new moons or Sabbath days, for the substance is Christ." Back to Christ. Now, let's listen to the holy apostles for what now for us to do. If you turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 and following, "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him." There again, pleasing him. "Being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. For all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Wow, what great thought. Qualified us. Yeah. And then what's more, here's some more. As we read our Bibles, and I encourage you, read them. Have you read them before? Read them again. Go through it again. You're never going to exhaust God's word. There's no way you can. It's going to help you and build you, strengthen you further all the while. If you turn to 2 Timothy 2:15, and a lot of us know that scripture, a New American Standard, I kind of like how it starts out in a way. You know, the New King James Version says, "Be diligent." Well, what is that? But the New American Standard says, "Study to show thyself approved, the workman unto God, not being ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Rightly dividing it? Yeah. We need to do that. We need to learn how to do that. Be strong in that. But he said, "But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to the more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer." Now, what's cancer do? It kills it out. So we want to get rid of that. And Paul goes on to explain, "Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort." Wait a minute, was he gossiping about Hymenaeus and Philetus? Not at all. That's not gossip. That's warning us. I mean, we're warned of the pending doom of a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And that's one of the reasons he's doing this. What do these fellows done who have strayed concerning the truth? saying that the resurrection had already passed. And they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Jesus Christ depart from iniquity. And iniquity is lawlessness. Again, we're under the law of Christ. We do what he says. He is the head of the church and the savior of the body, Ephesians tells us. Now, as we look where this word comes from, if you turn to John 14 and verses 26 and following, you know, let's turn over there. John 14. Yeah. Jesus is telling his disciples this. He said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Okay. Now, we see Peter reconfirming this in 2 Peter, the first chapter. He said, I know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is by any private interpretation. For the will of God never came through the will of man. But holy men in God spake as they was moved by the Holy Spirit. So as they was moved by the Holy Spirit, then became the written word. For what us to guide, and these were holy men. They were led by the Holy Spirit. They weren't going to be speaking on their own account, but whatever the Holy Spirit would hear, he would speak to them, and this is what's wrote down for us. Now, if you turn to Colossians, the third chapter, more of what us to do as Christian. If then you were raised with Christ, you get that? You were raised with Christ. Do you remember where you were buried with Christ? If you turn one page back there in Colossians, you see it. Here it is. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Okay, so back here in Colossians 3, he said, if then you were raised with him, that's after baptism, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You're safe, he's saying. You're safe. You're safe here. When Christ, who is your life, appears, hey, he's going to appear. He's coming again. We can be sure of that. I go to some other scriptures to lay that down too. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. And ain't that an interesting thing? Why don't you turn to me to 1 John, if you would. 1 John, the third chapter. a lot of people want to know, well, what are we going to be like? Well, what are you going to be like? We see the story of the rich man Lazarus. We see Lazarus looking over across the way, the rich man gazing across at Lazarus, and seeing him being comforted in the bosom of Abraham. Where's the rich man? He's in torments. He said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus over here that he may dip his finger in water and drop drops on my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. Well, that's not possible now. Now, don't get the thought that, hey, Uncle George is up there looking over us. He died. No. Listen to what was told that rich man. He wanted Abraham to send Lazarus back, for I have five brothers. Tell them not to come to this horrible place. No. He said, they have Moses and the prophets to listen to. If they won't listen to him, neither will they listen though someone should come back from the dead. Well, we do have somebody that came back from the dead on the third day, as he said he would, triumphantly, and, you know, putting an open spectacle to death. Christ did. Yes, it's true now. Yeah, there is a life after death. Which one do I want? The paradise side or the side of torment? It's mine. I choose it every day. How I'm going to live or how I'm going to be. But now, what are we going to be like? Well, now, as you look in 3 John, the only thing I can give you is what John speaks about. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been yet revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's the way, that's all I can give you on that. But now, as we go on with these objects for what us to do, he's saying, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication. What's that? Uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But you yourselves are to put all these away. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Yeah. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. I mean, are you a slave? You're still under Christ's commands. But Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, being merciful to one another, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, even as if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Yeah, that's part of our commands. Again, like, what do you do when you're Christians? Well, the church knows we get together, sing, sang, sung. We don't add to nor take away. We do what he said. To do something else would be worshiping in vain or doing your own thing. Like Jesus said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, haven't I prophesied in your name? Haven't I cast out demons in your name? Haven't I done many wonderful works in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. Well, there's that lawlessness again. I never knew you. So we must do what he says, what the holy apostle said, for us to read it again and keep reading it and diagnose it. I like to put in a little plant for our, you know, Sunday morning Bible classes, our Wednesday evening midweek study, getting into the Bible, studying these words, getting more clear as what it means and what it says, so we can be strengthened, not to be fooled or tossed this way and that by every whim of doctrine that comes along. That's why we got so many denominations around here, every kind. How many can you name? I heard there's up to about 2,000 anymore. But then Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So the identifying marks of the Lord's church. Now, that I may shorten this a little bit because it's going on. You know what I mean? But then here you see these guys in Genesis right away, building this tower. They weren't doing what he said. Going, you know. Now what's said to us, go. teach and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned. Now, what did the early church do? They stayed in Jerusalem. They hung around the feet of the apostles. Why? Because they were led by the Holy Spirit that Peter talked about there in 2 Peter chapter 1 to write all these things down. They didn't have the Bible to go with, so that's where they stayed. Well, he wanted them to go, didn't he? Well, now till the stoning of Stephen, when we read Acts 7, 8, and 9, we see what goes on there. Yeah, they were staying in Jerusalem. God wanted them to go. The only thing that got them to go was the stoning of Stephen when they stoned him to death as they laid their coats and cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. Yeah, he was greatly consenting to Stephen's death. And we see that in Acts chapter 8. And here it is. Now Saul was consenting to his death, and at that time a great persecution arose against the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the region, Judea and Samaria, except the apostles and devout men who carried Stephen to his burial and made lamentations over him. So you see there again, hey, you boys ain't doing what I told you to do. So I'm going to find a way to scatter you out here. And he did. He scattered them out to get to doing. And when he did, listen to the scriptures there. They were preaching the gospel and the word and baptizing, and the church grew even the more. So what are we supposed to do here in Greenville? With our feet stuck in the mud? Oh, I don't want to go talk to that guy. I don't think I can say them kind of words. Well, how do you know unless you try? Hey, try it and fail. But then do it again. Maybe you'll get it right. You know, study the word so that you can go. You know, we're responsible for this. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 11, Paul was saying, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Well, what are you persuading them of? That pending doom coming. We have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Which one are you going to take? It's ours. Yeah, and that's what he's about. And he even, he went on to say in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, he says, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Uh-oh, you know, and you're not going to tell. You're in big trouble then. Yeah. Listen, when Jesus comes again, and he is coming, and just like that song we sing, Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound, and all the dead will rise. Righteous meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Listen to that in John 5, 28. Jesus said, all who are in the graves will come forth. Hey, did I leave anybody out? A-L-L means all. Huh. One young boy, Tip City, asked me in teen class, what does that mean in Revelations 20, where it says, and the sea gave up the dead that were in them? Oh, well, yeah, I said, hey, Caleb, I know you. I'll tell you what that is. You know, when they came over here in America, how many of them ships, people died, got sick, and they threw it over in the water, diseases, cholera, and things like that. How many were shipwrecked back in Paul's day? Dead, huh? World War II, the bombing of Pearl Harbor, all those guys lost in that water. All who are in the graves will come forth. The sea gave up the dead that were in them. And they were all judged. What was they judged by? These 66 books. All of them. I got to read that and see what he's telling me to have everlasting life, to maintain everlasting life, to keep it, how to live and conduct my life. You know, Paul was saying not to be as fools, but be as wise, for the days are evil. Yeah, watch out. Now, I don't know where you're at today. If you're a Christian, it's great. Maybe this lesson uplifts you. Hey, I know what more to do now. Or maybe you're outside Christ and haven't obeyed Christ. Now listen what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. When Jesus comes, see right now he's our Savior. When he comes, he'll be our judge. John 12:48, he said, those who reject my words have that which judge them in the last day. The word that I spoke will judge them. Here's these 66 books, and they'll be there, and we'll be judged by them. So, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he says, when Jesus comes in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God, nor have obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, they will be separated from an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Oh, that's what you would call hell. Being separated from your God, which you know that's going to be in a place of torment. We don't have to go there because Jesus has made the way. If we just confess his name before men, repent of our sins, and are baptized in that watery grave we talked about in Colossians chapter 2, he will add us to his church and kingdom, Acts 2:47. So if you're outside Christ, or you need more strength of the church here, whatever your need might be today to be stronger, won't you come as we stand and sing a song of invitation?
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.